following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn 12 of A Worthy Opponent, a Hearthstone podcast. I apologize. I said you could tune in every Monday and hear us live, and I blew it last week. I am very sorry. I was not able to make it. I was comatose. So I am Black Lace, no longer comatose, here talking to you again about Hearthstone, and with me is...
Autumn Spain. Her nursemaid.
Yes.
She wasn't very so helpful. Much comatose as heavily drugged.
Well, we won't go into that because we're going to talk about Hearthstone instead. Because what we did miss last week, which was the big news that I really, 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 really wanted to talk about, was the wipe. Not a full wipe. Not like they wiped us the first time and completely obliterated everybody's cards, but a wipe of the season. Season one is over. And I hear tap, tap, tapping.
Yep.
Who's tap, tapping on my chamber door?
That was me just adjusting my volume.
Aha.
So, yeah, turn 11 we named, oh sure, blame it on the sprites. They must have paid attention to us because they fixed it right away.
Yeah, so we... logged in one day, getting ready to try to get to maybe 10, rank 10 or something like that, and all of a sudden looked and was like, oh my god, I'm rank 25 again! And Autumn Spain, what happened the first time you tried to play right after that?
Well, actually, the patch hadn't hit yet. What happened to me that you're talking about occurred the next day after our last podcast. The very first deck I faced, in fact, the very first four decks I faced, were Warlock Murloc decks. I kid you not, four in a row. No break in between. Now, I beat the first one, but the next three just ran right over me. And then after facing four, I just kind of, you know, logged out for the night. But I have a new strategy for facing Murloc Warlock decks.
Concede
on the spot.
Oh, I was joking.
Nope. If a Warlock plays a Murloc on the very first turn, I'm not wasting my time. I might try it if it's ranked and I'm like doing really well. I'm on a winning streak or something. But if I'm playing ranked and I've been losing or holding my own, I may or may not play them. But if I'm playing casual because I'm trying a new deck or something, and that Warlock plays a Murloc, boom, concede on the spot. I've been much happier that way.
I had a priest play a Murloc, and I was like, oh, no, no way. And I smacked the Murloc down very quickly, and he didn't play anymore, so I was very thankful. But I realized that we have War plus Lock and Mur plus Lock. And if you breed them, you still get Warlocks. So it makes sense that the Warlocks use Murlocs. Did that make sense?
Sure it does, but don't let it fool you. Just because you see a Murloc doesn't mean it's a Murloc deck. I have seen the Bluegill Warrior used in a lot of rush decks because it's only two mana and it's 2/1 with charge. And then the Murloc Tidehunter, which summons an additional Murloc.
That's the one he used.
Yeah,
the priest.
I've seen that a lot. But you know, any other combination of Murlocs, if on turn one they call out a 2/1 Murloc Raider for one mana, you know that that's going to be a Murloc deck.
Especially if it's a Warlock. I don't know why. But 'tis the way it is.
So there you have it.
There you have it. I've noticed also that casual play and ranked play nowadays are almost exactly the same thing. You can get obliterated in casual. So I now call myself a, what was the word I was going to call myself?
I don't know. I hope it was a good word.
Casually ranked, yes.
Okay. Well, the decks are all over the place, and the rankings seem to be all over the place, and there's no rhyme or reason, and there's very few decks that are like, this is the one deck dominating everything, and that's probably because of all the recent changes. But I just wanted to say one more thing about the Murloc decks. You never used to see them in the upper tiers. Now they're ranked 2 people playing against Murlocs at that level.
Yeah, and I don't understand. I still wish that we would get an explanation as to how they are considering the decks balanced against each other, how they balance players. Because in casual play, how do you balance it? In ranked play, at least, okay, they're rank 10, you're rank 10, or sometimes you're rank 11 and they're rank 9, and you're like quivering in your boots, but you can see the ranking there. But in casual play, I'm like, I really wish they would say, okay, if somebody has lost 5 turns in a row, somebody else has lost 5 turns in a row, we're going to put them against each other. Something like that would make sense, because then they're balancing out who's playing who, and you're playing against somebody who's had the same maybe bad luck streak as you have. They don't tell you exactly how they are, you know, figuring the balancing act.
Yeah, you know what? The MMR system that was in play is supposedly still in play. So it's just hard to say. Sometimes I think you just face a new player or a low-ranked player that happens to be pretty good because it's intuitive to them. And sometimes, no matter how much experience you have, you know, you're just not having a good day, or the luck's not on your side. Or if you're like me, you're playing a lot of new decks. I've been tinkering a lot lately because I can't, you know, some of my old decks just aren't working anymore. And we'll talk about that more with some of the other subjects. But, you know, someone in the chat room just said that there's supposed to be an MMR for casual. And I'm not sure how it's worked, because if it's based off of your actual rank, then it could work one way if it's based, you know, in ranked play. But I don't know if it's very fair to put your ranked play in the MMR against you in casual. But then again, you know, if you're really, really, really good at one deck, may still be very good in something you've never even played before. So I don't want to be playing against champions.
Right, and sometimes a bad hand is just a bad hand. I mean, you can get a bad hand and look at it and say, this really stinks. You can do a complete mulligan, get rid of all your cards, get brand new cards, and they stink too. And there's no way, there's no coming back. I had a good game on my side, and I played somebody else who played everything properly, but just didn't have the backup cards he needed to be able to turn it around to win. And I felt for the guy too, because I'm watching what he's playing and I'm like, he has nothing up his sleeve. It was sad. And sometimes that's just the way it is. That's just bum luck of the draw.
Yep. Or a new player who didn't craft a proper deck. But I'm more willing to bet it was the luck.
Yeah. Now, we've had a lot of changes aside from the wipe. The wipe was the big one.
It wasn't really a wipe. It was a
reset.
Completion of season 1 as they go to season 2. Although they're not numbering them like they do in Warcraft, I don't think, but technically season 1 is now over. So we changed seasons.
Yes.
Although it still feels like winter to me.
Which, yeah, but it's nice because they were concerned. However, we are still in open, we are still in closed beta. Still people are very upset about that, wishing for keys. That hasn't changed. Still a lot of glitches, which we're going to talk about. There were some major card changes this past week. Some for good. They listened to people about the hunters, and they didn't completely fix all the problems, but they did a nice little fix for the hunters. They did a big ouch on my little novice engineer. Yet again, we'll go through each one. The blood imp got a little bit of a boot in the butt again. Some cards that had been tweaked before got retweaked. So do you want to start her off?
Oh, why don't you go over the card list that you have there and we'll talk about it.
Okay, first we have Unleash the Hounds.
Now that I want to talk about.
Yep, so I will let you talk about it. It's a 2 mana cost card. For each enemy summons a 1/1 with charge. Yes, so let me, you go ahead and roll it out, because you had fun with that one today. I saw it happen.
Yeah, I did. So, two mana cost down from four. So you may recall, Unleash the Hounds used to be the supposed one-turn kill from the Hunters, where you could literally have no cards on the board and get a bunch of beasts out and give them all plus one attack and charge, and then they would swarm over you, like a Murloc deck. And now it's a two casting cost. For each enemy minion, summon a 1/1 Hound with charge. That's the new flavor text there, the new card text, rather. And when they supposedly nerfed the old Unleash the Hounds, they actually rewrote the whole card. And I don't think I've seen them rewrite an entire card like that before. And with a 4 casting cost, that card was just unplayable. I wouldn't put it in my deck. I stopped seeing it in other Hunter decks. Every now and then I would see one, but it didn't do much good for the person. But with a 2 casting cost, it is now very useful. And I played around with just one in my deck, and just tonight I added a second. And,
Synergy, tonight, synergy.
The synergy worked well. I got very lucky. I called out a Starving Buzzard, which had been previously nerfed, and people may recall that Starving Buzzard lets you summon a beast. I'm sorry, when you summon a beast, it lets you draw a card. Now, they nerfed it so that the health was down, so they don't last long, so you got to make them work quick. So the synergy I used today was I cast the Starving Buzzard, and then I cast Unleash the Hounds. That took 4 mana, which is what Unleash the Hounds used to take just on its own. My opponent had 4 minions, 2 of them with taunt. I had nothing. Called out my Buzzard, played Unleash the Hounds, 4/1/1 Hounds with charge showed up. Those 4 Hounds were used. Blizzard recently put it, we wanted it to be the Hunter AoE. Well, in effect, that's what it was. But instead of it being random, like 2 damage to everyone, you get to pick and choose. So 3 of my hounds attacked one taunt creature and killed it, and one of my hounds attacked the other and killed it. And I cleaned up the board with that card without giving me a huge advantage, because I may have still lost.
You don't remember, because you play so many games. Another card that got the, I'm not going to say got buffed or the nerf bat or anything, because they're, right now everything's just tweaks. The Blood Imp is now a 0/1 creature. It's a 1 casting cost. Instead of being a 1/1, it's now a 0/1. It's basically targets, it gives a random plus 1 health to another card that you've got out there, another minion. Aside from the fact that it has stealth and you can't hit it, it's now what I call pitiful. A card you may want to consider playing instead of that, also takes one to call out, is the Young Priestess. For 1 casting cost, instead of getting a 0/1 with stealth, you get a 2/1, and that one has, at the end of the turn, it gives plus 1 health to one of your minions. So I actually think the Young Priestess may wind up, I mean, you can hit her. She does still do 2 damage if you can get her going. If you can pump her up, even better. Unlike the Imp, who has stealth, you can't touch at all. I think the Young Priestess might, like, give the little Imp the boot.
Yeah, the other day I put out a tweet, and I wanted our listeners to give us feedback on what they thought the card changes were doing, you know, whether they liked them or not. And we had one email from our number one listener, Reap, sent us an email. He's the one that won the contest. And he's basically saying similar things to us. So I'm not going to read his email in its entirety, but when he says something that might be a little different than what we think, then I'll certainly bring that up. But he said, basically, it's equivalent to the Young Priestess, as you said now. There are cases where the taunt might, I mean, the stealth might suit you better than the Priestess, but either way, Blizzard says we don't want people playing the same card. Well, here's 2 similar versions, similar cards. that are slightly different. So you'll see people playing one or the other. And
don't let the title fool you. The Young Priestess is not a priest-only card. It is a neutral card.
But the Blood Imp...
I believe the Blood Imp is a Warlock card. I will check. You keep talking.
I'm looking right now. It's definitely a Warlock card. Yeah.
So the Young Priestess is actually... is a neutral. Anybody can play her. The next tweak they did was to the Dark Iron Dwarves. They now have a battle cry that give a minion +2 attack until the end of the turn. The change was made to reduce the Dark Iron Dwarves' overall power slightly. They wanted to make the battle cry effect the same as the Abusive Sergeants, so as not to force people to permanently buff one of their opponent's creatures. So that is how they changed the Dark Iron Dwarf.
Yeah, I don't understand that comment
about buffing one of the opponent's creatures. I honestly used to just zap people with it. I didn't see it buffing.
You know what? I think what they're saying is if it's... There are times in the game when you want to buff your opponent's player, your opponent's minion, for one reason or another. So let's say you're a priest and you've got one of those spells that could destroy a creature with 3 attack or less or 5 attack or more. You might want to give that an other player a boost just so that you could destroy it. Anyway, it's kind of like going back to the Magic days. There are cards that seem intuitively useful for just you, but you can use them on the opponent as well. So I'm sure there are plenty of uses for that, but it is just give a minion +2 this attack. The Defender of Argus is another one that took a change, and it was just that they lowered the health, I believe, right? An attack?
Yeah, they changed it to from a 3-3 to a 2-3.
Yeah, that's a very minor change.
Considering it's a good card anyway, it's got, I believe that's one of the battle cry that gives the adjacent minions a +1/+1 and taunt.
It is. That's exactly what it is. And it's a pretty powerful card.
I'm going to zip off on a tangent, like I never do that, just very briefly. We're going to be talking later about some problems that are seen. One of the problems seen is that still bugs, that they reshuffle cards when you're about to play a card. I actually saw somebody play this card, and I saw him place it between two cards, and then... good old Blizzard shuffled everything, and it wound up all the way to the right, so the only one that got that little taunt and +1/+1 was the one directly to the left of it, instead of, you know, being surrounded by two. I know there was a very probably loud cursing person on the other end of the keyboard when that happened.
Yeah, there have been similar bugs, like when you go to put a wolf down between two minions, and then it moves the card over to the left or the right instead of going in the middle.
And likewise, when you're buffing cards, when you're giving something a +1/+1, or if you're playing something that can put a shield on another card, you may be meaning to shield your 2-2 creature, and suddenly you're shielding a 1-1. I mean, because the cards do a little dance on your right in front of you on your monitor.
And there's other bugs we want to talk about, but let's go through finish the list first. Pyroblast, no big surprise there. Everyone knew it was going to happen. I was a little surprised that they went from 8 to 10 instead of just trying to tweak it up to 9, but it's not making mages take them out of their decks. I'm certainly
not, really.
I'm certainly not taking it out of mine.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing as with the mind control of the priest. They get to 10, they get your creature.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of patience and waiting it out. I notice somehow whenever I have Malagos in a deck, though, I never quite get to the point where I can play him. And when I do play him, the game's usually over anyway. So he's kind of a sad legend.
Well, you know, a tangent to what you just said, the rush decks are being severely nerfed, with the exception of Warlocks and Murlocs. But two of the cards that got changed, the Warsong Commander and Charge, have made it more difficult to get rush decks to play properly. And Remember in the last episode, turn 11, I discussed that warrior deck that I played with the one turn kill that somebody got all the way to rank, rank one with. And that card, that deck, is now completely broken. It cannot be done. And these cards are part of the reason. They so the specific changes that they made is that the Warsong Commander no longer gives all minions charge. It's when you play a card, then that card, when you play a minion, that minion gets charged. So it's kind of a one at a time thing.
Yeah, this is my ouch card. The ouch card, and I just don't get why they did anything to the novice engineer. She's such a sweet, cute little gnome. For two mana, you would call her out, and she was a 1/2 creature. And basically, she'd allow you to draw a card, and she'd sit there nice and pretty. Well, now for the two mana, she's now just a 1/1 card and allows you to draw a card. So she gets popped off very easily. It's almost like having, it's basically, here, I'm going to play this card so I can get a different card. It's gotten to the point where it's almost not worth having her in your deck. A lot of people have her since day one of beta. She's been a very, very, very common card in everybody's deck. I don't know. I think that 1/1 from a 1/2 is going to really hurt.
Well, I have something to say about that, but I want to go back to the Warsong Commander. It's whenever you summon a minion with 3 or less attack, give a charge. So that's what the big change there was. I misquoted what the card was. So no longer can you give big creatures the charge. So you can still have several minions that get charged, but only if they're little ones. So I wanted to correct that. As for the novice engineer, when you compare her to other cards of similar cost, I think I'm just going to yank her from all of my decks because she is... she's now overcosted for what she is. If you take a look at the Northshire Cleric, for one casting cost, she's 1/3 and lets you draw a card when you heal someone. That's a lot of power for one mana. And, you know, the Charging Boar, you get charge on the first turn, that's one mana, and it's a 1/1. The Elven Archer.
Same thing, yeah, the Archer. 1/1, she pings somebody
and
immediately.
So to cast, you know, to pay 2 mana for a 1/1 creature, only to have it draw a card, you might as well replace the card you were about to draw with her, or the other way around.
Yes.
Replace her with the card that you would have drawn. I'm yanking her from all of my decks. I'm not surprised by a change, and I'm not upset by it, because while I used it a lot, it wasn't like a game-breaking card. To me, game-making card.
No, but it's nice to have your staple cards. I mean, there are some cards I just like to have in my decks, and she was one of them.
Yeah, well, she's gone now. Sorry, little Nomi.
Aww.
So when I take her out, she's going to say, "Are you sure?"
Mean old Blizzard. Last change, as far as I'm concerned, is kind of a very minor one. Sylvanas now costs 6 instead of 5 to cost her. To
still
cast
worth
her.
It. Still,
yeah,
worth,
still
it.
Worth it. Still worth it. One mana difference. If you've got that little coin card, boom, on turn 5, you can cast her anyway.
I mean, look at the casting costs of all the other good legends. They're all, you know, 9, 10, or even
yep.
only 7. She's still only 6.
Yep, she's passed. Speaking of casting costs and cards that don't cost a lot to cast, Hogger, my favorite, is my play of the week. We're trying to just let people know what different strategies we use that just seem to click, give you synergy, give you ideas of what to do with cards. This one is in my Paladin deck. Hogger is, again, still my favorite legendary, my silly little Noli. He is a 4/4 creature. Play of the week went this way. He got pounded because they killed his little offspring of a 2/2 taunting Noll, and they brought him down to a 4/1. It was not a warlock. I'm not sure what I was playing. So they brought him down to a 4/1, which means next turn they were going to pop him off. They cast a 1/4 Silverback Patriarch. Now that's a creature with taunt, damage of 1. He's got 4 health, hard to kill. Here I am with my little 4-1 hogger. Seems like it's easy, but I'll lose my hogger's ability of getting a gnome if I kill him off. However, I'm a paladin. So, what did I do? I popped my redemption, which is a 1 mana cost card. What redemption does is if your character gets killed, your minion gets killed, it will bring it back with its power the same, but its toughness down to 1. So basically, I hit him for 4-1, killed his 1-4, redemption brought him back as a 4-1, but then I played my Shattered Sun Cleric, which is give any minion a +1/+1, and then I made my little hogger a 5-2, because I did that, and ended my turn calling out my +2/+2 gnoll with taunt. It was just fun. It was just a little bit of juggling, but the cards worked so well together. So sometimes if you want redemption, don't just leave it there to think about, okay, so somebody dies, they'll come back. Think about, I want to kill this person with this card that I don't want to really lose. I'm going to kill that. I'm going to play my redemption, make sure he gets killed on my terms, not somebody else's. And it worked really well.
I think it's worthy to note that redemption is a secret, though it's not just a spell secret. So
true, it's a one-point secret. I apologize.
It's got to be well timed.
But it's also like the only secret I ever play as a paladin. There are others out there, but that's the only one I play. It's a good card. It's a good card. Did you have a play of the week other than your little hounds calling?
So, we're done with talking about all the changes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, again, thanks to Reap for writing in, and just quickly breezing. He mostly had the same things to say than we did, but I didn't want his writing to be pointless by just glossing over it before we moved on. So, I had no real turns of the week. My gameplay has been sporadic and unpredictable because I just can't get a groove. I'll win a couple, I'll lose a couple, I'll go up in rank, I'll go down in rank. Ranking is harder for me because the mage deck is no longer doing what it was doing before. And I have to say, even though I'm losing more, I'm finding that the new environment is more enjoyable than before when the same decks kept winning. Because now I'm seeing all kinds of different decks. It's not people playing the same old, because they can't anymore. Everything's been changed, including the deck that got me to rank 12. Now I'm sitting at like 20 and 19 back and forth. But, you know, I had to nurse somebody back to health, so my gameplay hasn't been, you know.
Sure, playing the invalid.
As common. But, I'm having more fun with the Hunter again. I'm not winning every game, but I made a deck from scratch. Bunches of people had sent me decks to play, and, you know, like that Blizzard employee had made one that people were having good luck with that a listener told us about. It wasn't working for me. So I kind of started from scratch. I'm trying not to use other people's decks anymore, unless it's a class that I'm really unfamiliar with. So I might go looking around for a shaman or a druid deck soon, because I'm not really well-versed in them. But druids, I've been seeing them more. I don't know about you, and they've been kicking my butt.
I've seen a couple druids and shaman reading. That's why I call myself a casual ranker.
Mm-hmm. how have you been doing against them, though?
Druids, I'm still keeping on top of them with my paladin and my mage. They're giving me more fight for it. The shaman, they've been starting to kick butt. I've been seeing some really nice shaman moves, and I'm not even talking about the totems they're throwing out. They've got a groove on now. Shamans seem to have caught on. I'm seeing some good work there too.
Yeah. Yep. Shamans and druids, beating them a lot. They're beating me, so that's why I want to play them, so I can go and beat other people. I can't get myself to play the priest anymore. You know, I made that deck when they were doing really well, and I'd win a few games, just not enjoyable to me. And that's why I'm glad there's so many classes. We were discussing this in Warcraft the other day. I had a character of every class, and I finally deleted my level 52 priest because I just couldn't play it. And I'm telling that to a person
who has
four priests. So, you know,
since vanilla.
So it's to each his own, and that's good because there are days when it seems like there's no variety in this game, that everything I'm facing is the same.
Here's the funny thing is, I like being the priestess. I mean, the priestess. Sorry. I like playing the mage, and I like playing the paladin. I've learned to really enjoy playing the paladin. I've got a really good priest deck. I just dislike the priests in Hearthstone. For some reason, they've gotten so badly under my skin that I can't bring myself to play it, even though I've got a decent deck.
Yep. I hear you.
Can't do it. I can't do it. I know all the tricks. I know all the trades. I can do well with it, but I can't do it. All right. So moving on to, since we don't have a Autumn's Banes play of the week, we already mentioned with some of the problems, the reshuffling of the cards on the field so that your spell may not hit the right creature. You also have to be very careful. Here's something we haven't told people. If you're going to channel a spell and you are aiming it at your opponent's imp, and you realize that the imp is stealth and it cannot be hit. I was having all sorts of trouble. I wound up pinging myself or my own creatures more time accidentally trying to get that spell away. Hit escape. If you hit escape, that arrow disappears. It resets your card. Don't try to move off to the corner and click and let it go. The escape button will drop the spell you're about to cast so you don't accidentally kill yourself or kill one of your own minions when you change your mind about something. Just a side note, a lot of you probably know it, but again, we're all about the casual and we're still about the beginners, so I just wanted to give that little bit of trivia.
Well, I want to talk about a bug that I discovered today.
Well, that was an interesting bug.
I've never seen it before until today, and it was almost like my minions were getting stealth. So I cast a Timber Wolf, which is one casting cost, 1/1 beast. Your other beasts have +1 attack. And in this space where the oval of the minion would be, was no actual oval, no picture of the card text, no picture of the wolf. I could see the little jewel that had the casting cost. I could see the circle with the blade through it for the attack. And I could see the blood drop for the health. And nothing else. And when a card has a special ability or somebody's targeting them, you know how the oval sort of pulses like concentric circles when you throw a pebble in a pond? It was doing that, and if you moused over the card, you could tell what the card was, but the actual picture of the card was missing. So it happened on the Timber Wolf, and then later it happened on another Timber Wolf. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's just a Timber Wolf. But then my opponent played a Loot Hoarder, and it happened to that. And these were in two separate games, so it wasn't isolated to one game, and it wasn't just me playing it. My opponent was playing it too.
Seems to be a new glitch.
And that was just three occurrences in two full-length games. So it wasn't extremely common, but to happen twice in a row. And I only played two games today. I tried to get a couple of games in before the podcast tonight. So it's just very odd. And to see it on the screen was like, ooh, my minion has stealth.
I want to do a test to see if I can see. I want to play you with my rogue deck. And the reason I want to do this is because I want to send one of your cards back into your hand. Because whenever I do that with my rogue deck, I see the upside down card still of that opponent sitting in the middle of the board. But I don't know if the opponent sees the same thing. So I think I want to test it and see if what I see on my computer screen is the same glitch if you see it, or if your screen looks normal and it's only on my side. As for testing, we did not test like we promised last week. We were looking at that the app that allows you to fake an arena. I realized I didn't have enough cards to really fake on Arena. I plan on getting more cards and being able to do that. So we will still be doing that to try that app as to testing Arena play.
Yeah, that's Hearthpedia is the app you're talking about, right? The problem is they only allow you to do it so many times and then you can't do it anymore. So in just messing around with it, I may have used up at least two of my turns.
I used up three of my turns. It allows you to do it three times, and I was just looking, and then I was like, well, I don't really want to build it now, and then I was looking, and I'm like, okay, this is how I do it. Did it three times, and all of a sudden it says, you can't do it anymore. So I deleted it, and I downloaded it again. I haven't had a chance to see if they've reappeared because I've been afraid to look, because if I look, I'm going to use up one of my turns.
Yep, so that may or may not be an experiment we get to pull off, but we could play each other to see if we can see each other's glitches.
This is true. Another glitch that has been happening is, unfortunately, with the quests, and they had been going very well. In the past, when you dropped a quest, they had that little X show up. You can click the X, and it would change your quest instantly to a different quest. People noticed over the last week that it would drop the quest, but it would not give them a new one. Tonight, I tried to look at it. I got a quest that I just absolutely did not want to play. So I looked through the little X. The little X is actually completely gone. So I think they disabled the function while they try to fix this glitch.
Yep, the same thing happened to me. I got a quest, Paladin or Priest Victory, 40 gold for winning two games with a Paladin or Priest. I'm sick of playing the Priest, and I had played several games over the past few days with my Paladin. I really was not in the mood to play another Paladin. So I said, okay, let me get out of this. And nope, there's just like a little rivet in all four corners of the box. No more X. And then I got another quest, 3 victories with any class, which I don't want to get rid of, but the X isn't there for that option anyway.
So those are the glitches that are still being worked on, and as I said, unfortunately, we're still not in open beta. There are still people without beta keys. We're going to try again to contact Blizzard and see if we can get some beta keys to be given out again. Haven't had much luck. Blizzard, you need to listen to us. Our people need keys.
They have stopped giving the keys again. So remember that they said that everybody who had signed up for one would get one.
Right, that deadline has passed.
Yeah, well, supposedly they stopped giving keys, that you just go to your Battle.net account and it's there. But then I heard through whatever sources, I don't remember if it was an article, a podcast, or whatever, I heard that indeed some people who were waiting for keys still did not get them. But I think they want to stabilize everything. They want to work more on actually getting it into open beta. When open beta is out, then everybody can get in. And, you know, instead of spending all their time worrying about who has keys and who doesn't, enough testers have keys that they don't need to worry about it. And so they're not. But it seems like every time they fix something, they open up a whole new set of bugs. And they said, Eric Dodd said just 4 days ago, that open beta is coming soon. And soon could mean March.
Could be, actually, if you recall, back in the end of November, they said December they'd open up the beta, and now we're nearing the end of January already. Speaking of Eric Dodd, Eric announced that there is a new member of the Hearthstone team, Mike Donis. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. He's had 10 years of card game design experience. He's already applying his wealth of knowledge by working on their most recent card changes. He's part of the Hearthstone design team, and he ensures that the cards and the card balance follow the philosophies that they're going to be, that actually we're going to be discussing, because we're going to discuss a blog that was posted by Eric Dodds.
Yeah, so, but before that, I just wanted to comment. It seems like Blizzard staff is really getting shaken up. We mentioned that Ghostcrawler from WoW is gone, and his replacement is someone called Celestalon. But did you know word has been released as to where Ghostcrawler went to. He's now lead game designer, lead systems designer with Riot Games, the same people who make League of Legends. So I don't know if he's working with League of Legends or if he's working on something new, but I'm kind of excited to see where that goes.
That'd be interesting.
So, back to Hearthstone.
Back to Hearthstone. Yes, Eric Hutz did recently, about 4 days ago, made a post regarding the changes they make, the factors that they take into account when they're actually trying to correct the cards that we're seeing corrected and changed, why they're doing it, the philosophy behind the card balance, the reasons they want to make the changes. He wanted to give everybody insight behind these philosophies to shed light on how the cards evolve, because we're going to be moving past the beta testing soon and into release. So he gave us a bunch of different areas. First one was a card that causes non-interactive games. Hearthstone is at most the most fun when you're solving an interesting puzzle each turn. Your opponent's minions, your minions, and the cards on your hand are all pieces to the puzzle. When your opponent removes parts of the puzzle, it can be less fun to play. Freeze spells that affected the opponent's boards were changed for that reason. They felt that the decks that used these cards didn't rely heavily on minions, so playing against it wasn't all that interesting because your enemy didn't have the minions out to interact with. So that's why they wound up zapping the freeze, or freezing freeze, should you say.
Yeah, it's no fun to play when you can't play.
Right. Cards and and that's what they always say, is they want this to be fun, even if you're losing, which I don't understand, because losing's not fun, but if you lose well, and your opponent is really good, and you're having a balanced game, yes, losing can be fun. But still on with a card causes non-interactive games. Cards and combinations that can kill your opponent from a high amount of health without any minions starting on the board are also not interactive. This is why they recently changed Charge and Warsong Commander.
Right. More one-turn kill decks from Warriors.
Yeah, I had a Priest annihilate me the other day, actually, with a 32-32 creature. Don't ask me how he did it. It was a first I'm going to boost this, then boost his health, boost his health, boost his health. Okay, boost his health again, and now I'm going to make his damage equal to his health. Haha, you're dead.
Yeah, we've discussed that combo many times.
And it hurt me again this week.
Now,
it hurts.
To jump ahead to something that they say later on in this article, only because you brought it up, they don't want to take away combinations. They don't want to nerf the combinations. They really want people to play a variety of types of decks. So they don't want to try to destroy strategies. If you've come up with a strategy and good card combinations and good synergy, they don't want to destroy that, because that just stunts your creativity and your, the game design in you when you make your deck. But sometimes it's necessary in the process of doing that to nerf a card or two. I don't think they're not going to be nerfing too many cards after this last big nerf. And once it goes to release, they're definitely not going to touch a card unless they're absolutely positively certain that it needs to. What Magic the Gathering used to do is they just say, okay, this card is now banned from tournaments. You can't play it in a tournament. But that didn't affect casual play, so that was pretty much an agreement you made with your friends. But in this game, they can just yank a card or change a card or nerf a card. But they don't want to do that once release comes unless absolutely necessary.
Right. The next section, do you want to take that one, Autumn?
Sure. If a card is frustrating to play against, sometimes a card can be very frustrating and really not fun to play against, and that's enough of a reason for us to step in and change it. And so they've done that in some cases. For example, they said, we made an adjustment to Mind Control's mana cost a while back for this reason. Increasing its cost made it less prevalent and gave the opponent more time to play with their big minions. So I don't think it's less prevalent from what I've seen. If I'm playing a priest and the turn goes to 9, I'm getting mind controlled. Because if they have the coin, they're holding on to it until they get their mind control and then they use
exactly.
it. So 50% of the time, in theory, it's a 9 casting cost spell. But
I would like to see
they did
that
the right
mind
thing.
Control. Yeah, they tried. I think they could fix mind control by setting an amount of turns that they control your minion, and then your minion should come back to you. Yeah. That's what I think the real fix would be for the mind control.
Could be. Could be. And I don't like having that done to me. I've said before, I feel like violated when that happens. But the game has 9 classes, and these 9 hero classes have to play differently. And it's tradition
it's
for card games.
It's your white and blue deck.
Yeah, it's tradition for card games to have the capability of taking things away from your opponent and using them. So I do not regret that it's still in the game. I just wish it wasn't so frustrating. And I have to admit, having an extra turn or two to be able to play a big card against my opponent without fear of it being taken away, I've noticed that. It's been a good nerf.
And
anyway,
I have noticed a lot more variety in card the different people were playing. I mean, I've noticed a ton. There's been a run on Warlocks. But as you said earlier, I've been seeing Druids and I've been seeing Shaman, and I haven't seen those recently. And now I'm seeing them played more often. I'm starting to see the classes that weren't played before, which is good.
Well, another frustrating card was Pyroblast. It was changed because it was both frustrating to play against and it was causing less interactive games. These two reasons often go hand in hand. Now, I read something elsewhere within the past week. I don't remember if it was a forum post or a tweet, but basically the game designers were saying, okay, so as a mage, you only have to deliver 10 points of damage to your opponent between minions and lesser spells. And then when the turn comes along, what was it, 8 points for the Pyroblast at the time? No, 2 turns in a row, you hit them with Pyroblast, that's the last 20. That's 2/3 of the damage from 2 cards on 2 turns, and they have no answer for it. Unless it happens to be another mage who has a counterspell secret. So, that's what they want to get rid of. And
yep.
That's a frustrating card. And I played a mage, and that's what got me to rank 12, and I enjoyed being able to win. It's fun to win, but it's not fun to lose against those decks. And you know, just because you're having fun winning doesn't mean it's right. And even as a mage who plays 2 pyroblasts, I know that the nerf was necessary.
I really gotta get me a pyroblast. I've been winning with my mage and I don't have pyroblast, so I guess I should be proud of that, but I should actually craft one if I don't get one with the packs that I'm planning on opening soon. The next issue they have is that a card might be causing confusion or it's not intuitive enough. The Frostwolf Fire Lord was changed some time ago for this reason.
Warlord.
Did I say Fire Lord?
Yeah, Frostwolf Fire Lord. That's kind of interesting.
That would be a cool card. Frost Wolf Warlord was changed some time ago for this reason. His health used to fluctuate as the number of minions you had in play changed, and it created confusion, especially if the Warlord had been damaged. So what they did was they changed his power to a battle cry, and rather than constantly triggering based on the board state, it was consistent and easy to understand at first glance based on what was out there when it was cast. So that was a positive thing.
Yep. And if a card is too strong compared to other cards of that cost, which I just talked about with the novice, the Northshire Cleric, he's too powerful, if you ask me. A 1 casting cost creature who is a 1/3, which means she's got some survivability compared to the others at 1 casting cost, and a massively powerful ability to heal someone and then be able to draw a card.
Well, she doesn't heal it. Whenever she gets healed by the priest,
no.
Or when a minion
doesn't.
Gets healed. Yeah, but for the listener who doesn't know, right. When a minion gets healed, she automatically will draw a card for you.
Though I don't know why she has escaped Blizzard's notice for cards that need tweaking, but that card needs a change, even if it's just to bring her down to 2 health.
Yep, a card, as you said, card too strong compared to other cards at that cost. Card diversity goes down when everyone is playing the same cards at a certain mana cost. They want to avoid the feeling of limited minion choices based off of the strength of the cost while you're deck building. Game is more interesting and dynamic when you see a variety of different cards and classes.
And there are players out there, the more hardcore, the more elite players, the higher ranked players, and they sit there and they calculate the value of a card. It says, well, for this much mana, it will deliver 12 damage over the course of X number of turns, whereas this other card, which seems as good, will only deliver half that. Therefore, it's not a good card and I don't want it. I don't want to have to do math every time I play a card. Let Blizzard balance the cards like they're trying to do so that they're properly costed for what they do. I want to pay attention to what the card does if I'm going to have fun with it and if it's going to work in synergy with my deck without having to worry about, oh, it doesn't do quite as much damage as this other one or have quite as much health, so I'm not going to play it. I don't like the idea of good cards and bad cards because there are good cards and bad cards. I like the idea of good cards possible in a particular deck. If every card out there is good for something at some point, then that's a balanced game. I don't like having cards out there that just plain stink altogether that nobody wants to use. What do we say, there's 380 something cards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who wants half of them to be stinky?
Right. Stinky. And as for the cards being too strong compared to other cards that cost, that's why they did the changes to Sylvanas, the novice engineer, which I disagree with. I really don't think she was that much of a game changer. Defender of Argus, they were changed for that reason, as they made it harder for a player to choose other neutral minions at their cost. So they're looking at, they want diversity. They don't want everybody playing the same cards. They want all the cards that they create and all the artwork that they put into all the beautiful cards that they've got to get used. They didn't say that. I did, but that's the you want to see the different cards.
You do.
Next specific build or style of play is too strong. In general, they have not been making very many changes because of this reason. Their general philosophy with Hearthstone is that players should look forward to building a wide variety of creative decks with the classes that they enjoy playing.
That's what I touched on before.
Yep. Oh, okay. So be quiet, Black Lace.
No, I remember before I said I was jumping ahead to one.
That's basically what I was saying. Right. They want the decks to have the power to potentially counter opponent strategy rather than have them swing the nerf bat to make every class function similarly, so that you could potentially see cards in future sets that are more effective against a wider assortment of strategies, further diversifying that ever-evolving metagame within Hearthstone. They've seen many different classes and deck types cycle through the top slots over the past few months, and I can honestly say through the past few weeks, we've seen that happening a lot. A lot of the quiet ones have surfaced to the top and are now kicking butt. They look forward to seeing players build, play, counter, rebuild, and theorycraft new decks as they add, yay, additional cards in the future. Which, again, for us, there'll be additional cards in the future. And for those friends of ours who do not yet have the ability to play the game, those will be new cards that will be established with the cards they haven't yet seen.
Okay, and the last segment in this particular article is a card is too weak. So we've dramatically slowed down on changing the cards for this particular reason. That a card is too weak, I guess. Once we've reached open beta, we will be very close to locking down our card. Yeah, I kind of said this before. there are cards that are too weak, and I kind of went off on that even before I read this particular portion just now. So we'll just see what happens with the beta. Again, I'm not holding my breath for closed beta to go away. I think we're with closed beta for a while. There's just too many bugs. There are as many, if not more, bugs and problems going on now as there were 3 months ago. And I like that they're making changes in the right direction. The changes that they're trying to make to the cards themselves, that's progress, that's working well. But the mechanics of how the game works and the little glitches that pop up, that still needs to be addressed. Of course, we have to see if the changes that they just made did any good, or if something has to be reversed. After all, they changed Unleash the Hounds, and then they had to go back and change it again. So we don't know if that'll happen. Maybe they'll take your little novice engineer and change her. Reduce her mana cost.
That would be nice. Because she is a two-cost creature. So if they made her a 1 with a 1/1 draw card, that would be okay-ish too. But still, it seems like, here, let me toss this card and get another one and lose a card in the interim. But that is pretty much what Eric Dodd said. Again, Eric Dodd being the lead designer for Hearthstone. So that was something he had mentioned to everybody, posted on his blog about 4 days ago.
Yep, exactly 4 days ago. And thank you, Eric Dodds, for that article.
We are about to draw to the close. Wanted to thank Reap yet again for an email. Again, we want people to, you know, check us out on different genres. I'll explain in a moment. We did want to send a special thank you to Realm Maintenance again.
Oh, Realm Maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've mentioned Realm Maintenance in the past, and I've mentioned Remedies, who works there, and who's been in touch with us through Twitter now and then. She's going to be interviewing us tomorrow night, so we should be on the Realm Maintenance podcast in the near future. I think we're slated to be on for the 28th, but we'll see how it goes, because nothing's set in stone, but we are supposed to meet with her tomorrow night for an interview. So I'm rather excited about that, for not only for us, but for the podcast itself and letting people out there know that we exist.
Yep. And just to remind people, we are on live chat, live streaming while we are doing these podcasts. We do have our chat room open, and occasionally we'll chat back and forth with people there when we're trying not to lose our place talking to everybody. You can find us on the Hollow Suite XS. I just wanted to also remind people that you can follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook. Give us some likes. We like likes. Everybody likes to be liked at AWO Hearthstone. Once again, happy hearthing.
Well, wait.
Oh, we can't
Why
happy hearth yet?
Happy hearthing. No happy hearthing. I just wanted to tell our listening audience that we enjoyed the interaction. Reap is lonely tonight in the chat room because we didn't have too many. Probably they all thought that Black Lace was still sick or something. I don't know. But come and join us in the chat room, and we try to converse with you while we're podcasting. But also feel free to write us at our email address. Black Lace just told you what it was. If we say something on the show that you have an opinion about, or if something you disagree with, something you liked, write to us, and you know, maybe you get your email read on the podcast, and it's a good chance of that, actually.
Yep, and as a note, on iTunes right now, we do not have Turn 1 on. We are working on getting Turn 1 back onto iTunes. If that is not possible, for any listeners at any time, if you don't see an episode on iTunes, or if iTunes isn't the way for you to go, you can find us on hollowsweetmedia.com. Just scroll around until you see A Worthy Opponent, and you will find us there. There are other talk shows that the that Hollow Suite Media does put on. You might be interested in listening to some of them too. So we're not gonna hog your ears.
Yeah,
but
so
we thank you for listening to us.
Yeah, even though not all past 11 turns are on iTunes, they are currently all still on Holosuite Media. So that's the take-home point there. If you don't see it there, they're all still available. They haven't gone away.
But unless illness hits again, you'll find us on Monday nights, Eastern Standard Time, in the same bat channel, same bat time. Now can I say it?
Speak ahead.
Happy hearthing, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Pass me that beer.
No, no.
I'm gonna come shuffle the cards again.
Peter.
What?
I'd never want to play Hearthstone with Medivh, because Medivh cheats.
No. Bye, everybody.
Tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.